Part three of the story of when my house got stolen. Is your mum going to be okay about
this?
Yeah,
look, hopefully she's listening. She's probably had a little tanty and gone off walking or shopping or something, and she's not going to listen to part three.
She reckons I'm dragging it out too much. It's just what happened. So we left yesterday.
Okay, oh, can't I do the dun dun dun?
Yeah. Okay, so my house was on a truck and it was left on the side of the road. It was the Georgetown Highway, the Bridport Highway from, you know, going across to Bridport from Georgetown-ish. Now, on the side of the road, it's been left. We knew that if we left it there, it'd get burnt because the guy who was moving the house was a maniac.
So it'd get burnt.
We knew he was burning houses down, okay? So the police had said, no, you can't. You have to leave it there. And I said, if I leave it there, it's going to get burnt. Called the local cop because I was living at Ringarooma, and he said, I'll do whatever we need to get it home for me, so, which was just amazing. And the guy who had the truck that had just been smashed to pieces, he had other Bedford trucks back at his farm. He races off and he gets all the parts that he needs. I mean, the whole thing was smashed to pieces. He gets a Trawler jack, jacks the cabin out because it had been crushed by when Barry Bauer rammed it with his prime mover. Jacks it out. I think he changed the steering box, but the one he had was still damaged. Something was damaged, so he could go on the right-hand lock, but he couldn't go on the left-hand lock. So if he wanted to go around a left-hand corner, he'd have to go forward and back, forward and back, forward and back. So what would have taken about an hour and a half took about 5 or 6, 7 hours, and he got escorted by my local cop, and we got it up to the bottom of my hill. Now, I lived on the hill, and then there was the river, and there was a bridge there. To get it across the bridge, we had to jack it up to go over so that the house would go over the side of the bridge, if you get what I mean.
Yeah,
so you'd
I understand.
Have to put pieces of timber and et cetera. Took hours to get it across the bridge. We didn't have time to do that because by this stage it's in the evening. My farm was about 3-4 kilometres away over the top of the hill, but my mate had his farm and his house was sort of not far away. So I went down. I knew this guy would turn up because he knew where my house was.
So
he
knew that once you towed it there, he knew that the house would
exactly
be there, and he'd probably
be,
come and get it and threaten you.
He'd come up to my house to prepare the site to put the two halves back together again. So he knew where I lived, which was pretty
spooky,
intimidating.
Yeah.
So I go down to Ted's place, and I'm at Ted. This is the unbelievable bit that we actually sat there watching Rocky.
What, at your mate Ted's house?
at Ted's place, and we're waiting to see what would happen. So, 8 o'clock, nothing had happened. 9 o'clock, suddenly we saw this car. And remember, we're at the back blocks of Ringarooma. Mm. Not many vehicles going past at that time. I knew that he had a big four-wheel drive, big sort of truck. This car goes past and goes down the Trina Road, comes
on
back
the way
past,
to your place,
comes back past, then finally comes back and parks next to where the house was. And this guy gets out, and I knew who it was then. It was him. Oh. So we've got the torch, and I've just run. We've just run out of the house. We see him getting out of the back of his truck. He's getting a big 5-gallon drum of petrol, and he's just going to burn it down.
And so what did you do?
So we just ran down and towards him. He heard us coming because we're about, I don't know, 300-400 metres away yelling out at him. He gets back in the car. And he's driven off and he's disappeared. I've rung the local cop, I've rung all my mates in the area, and we're out on the hunt for him. And that's it for the
You know-